Resorts World Catskills, where luxury and excitement are so close by. Catch all the sports action and so much more at Resorts World Catskills. Dial *RWCAT to learn more.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
My producer and my technical audio engineer just start taking shots at me, and now I feel like I'm under the gun. But I will persevere because that's the kind of talk show host, in fact, that I am. All right, we have a lot to get into. A lot. Here's what we're going to do today. As you know, Stump Rothenberg, 10:30, RJ Bell, 11 o'clock. But we have so many different machinations of things to get into, and I don't ordinarily do this, but today we're going to. We're just going to open up the phone lines. And if you want to go Mets, if you want to go Yankees, if you want to go Joe Douglas, if you want to go Daniel Jones, if you want to go NBA Finals, if you want to go NBA free agency, we're just going to do that. Because there's too many things to get into. So the floor is yours on this glorious Saturday in June. 800-919-3776. So let's start with the NBA Finals. We'll kind of slowly navigate our way from there and pick and choose where we go on a very, very busy Saturday morning. I think this series is on the verge of being over. I'm surprised by it, and I don't know what this means long-term free agency for the Knicks, and I don't think anybody really knows. I mean, it sounds like, see, here's the thing. 2 weeks ago, Kyrie Irving was coming to the Knicks. Now, Kyrie Irving is going to Brooklyn. Kawhi Leonard was never even an option with the Knicks. Now Kawhi Leonard is an option. Here's the truth. We don't know. And here's the truth upon that. I don't think the players know. I don't think if you ask Kyrie Irving, you absolutely have to tell me now what your long-term plan is, that he would have any idea. I don't think he knows. I don't think KD knows. And I don't think they should know right now. They have weeks to determine. Why should Kawhi Leonard, who's one win away from being the MVP of the NBA Finals, be giving real consideration to leaving? Now, has it occurred to anybody that the guy's had a dream season? He's beloved in Toronto. If they win one more of the next three, he's now an NBA champion in Toronto. Maybe he stays there? KD, I don't know. We don't know. But what I do know right now is that as we sit here, Toronto is on the precipice of winning the championship. And you know what? You watch them play, and they look like the better team. They look like the better basketball team in almost every phase. Now, do I think that they get the advantage? Because KD is not there, of course. I mean, here's the truth, and I don't think that this is, you know, splitting the atom, guys, is that if Golden State was healthy, fully healthy, they would win this series. Is there an asterisk? No, there's not. But here's a couple things we've seen. First of all, Kawhi Leonard is sensational. And I don't know if you want to consider him the best player in the world or number two or where you have him ranked, but he is sensational. Siakam is a really nice player, but let's be honest. Toronto was not great last night by any stretch. Danny Green was abysmal. Marc Gasol was average. Kyle Lowry didn't play well. Ibaka was excellent off the bench. And Leonard was sensational. But not at any point did I watch that game thinking to myself, boy, oh boy, Toronto just looks great. I watched the game thinking to myself, Golden State is clearly not the same team. And I think that Klay's injury, and I know he scored 28 and shot the ball well, but he didn't feel like the same Klay to me. Defensively, he's not the same guy. He shot the ball well, I'll give you that. But they're just not capable being hampered the way they are. Couple in the factor that I don't know, the best player, the second best player, the third best player on the planet is not playing. Now, does this mean that he recognizes his value and he's got to, you know, stay there to prove something next year? I don't know. And that's the point. None of us know, which is why these next 3 weeks as a Knicks fan are going to be so unbelievably stressful, because it never works out. It doesn't. I mean, when was the last time as a Knicks fan you're like, this is what I really want to happen, and it happened to a T. You say Carmelo Anthony, but the ideal thing for that would have been if he signed here as a free agent. So now you're dealing Gallinari, who, by the way, is a terrific NBA player. And really the piece of that trade that you desperately shouldn't have made. You just don't know. And not knowing with teams that are not good makes it that much more stressful. To not know if you're the Boston Bruins, you know what? They're good. They're functional. They're capable. They'll be fine. To not know with the New England Patriots, you know what? They're good. They'll figure it out. They always do. To not know with the Yankees, hey, Yankees don't sign Keuchel. People upset by that. How could you not have? All it was money. You didn't have to trade any players. You know what? It's Brian Cashman. You know what? It's the Yankees. You know what? They'll be fine. Why? Because they always are. The Knicks? You tell me. And if you don't get anybody of real importance, I mean, if you wind up a Chris Middleton and a Tobias Harris, shoot me in the leg. I can't handle something like that. This comes down to one of two guys to make this any modicum of a success for the Knicks. Unequivocally has to come here. And that is either Kevin Durant or Kawhi Leonard, mixed with whatever in the world they want. And if that does not happen, then this whole plan again has failed for the Knicks. Again. 800-919-3776. So in reading about what the locker rooms felt like last night, and I don't know if it was Ramona Shelburne or who it was, to be honest with you, apparently it was morgue-esque in the Warriors locker room. Point being, this is a team maybe that realizes we're not healthy. We're not right. We go on the road. We trail 3-1. We're not winning. And you can't rightfully think that Kevin Durant comes back in this series at this point. Because the idea always was he'll be back for game two. He traveled to Toronto. He'll be back for game three. Well, you bank on him for four because Klay Thompson's not playing three and they'll both come back for four and they'll right the ship. I don't think he's coming back. And without him, coupled with the fact that Thompson is hampered, Iguodala is clearly hampered, they're not going to win the series. They're not. Now, I don't know if that gets into his psyche of, well, you know what? They need me. It proves that they need me. I hope it doesn't. Could it? I guess 3 weeks from tomorrow is when we'll find out. But that's going to be a long 3 weeks. Do you realize that the next 5 years, 5 years, so think about yourself in 5 years. I'll be 51. I'll be an old person in 5 years. Ty, you're going to have children in 5 years. In 5 years. How old are you going to be in 5 years?
I will be 31.
You're 20 years younger than me. Unbelievable. You were unbelievable. But think, you're going to have kids in 5 years. Your life is going to be completely different. Ladies and gentlemen, do you recognize that the next 3 weeks will determine the next 5 years for the Knicks? That's a long, long time. Ty's not even married, but he's going to have children. I'm going to have a kid on his way to college in 5 years. I'm going to be 51 in 5 years. God willing, I'll still be at this station, but a lot will change in the next 5 years. But I think it all boils down to this. If the Knicks land one of those two, then this whole, and I use the word charade either loosely or not, depending on how it works out, was either brilliant or an epic fail. If the Knicks are a 25-win team next year or a 54-win team next year. I mean, really, that's the discrepancy. If they have a great next 3 weeks, this could be a team that you look at and say, they're going to compete in the Eastern Conference for the next couple of years. And if they don't, you're going to see more of what you saw this season. So let's load them up. 800-919-3776. Haven't even gotten into the Mets yet, who, of course, right, you win two in a row. Colorado comes to town. The Grom against, what's his name, Sentinzella, whatever his name is. And, of course, you don't score for DeGrom. Bullpen does what the bullpen does, and you lose that game 5-1. Yankees, you know, had a lead, let it get away. They've lost 4 or 5. Rays playing the Red Sox. That, please, that kid is really, really good. And the Yankees lose on the road in Cleveland.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Let's start out with one of my faves, and that is the great deep-voiced Marvin in the Bronx. Good morning, Marvin.
Good morning, DR. What's up?
How you doing, buddy?
Check this out. First of all, I found a tie went to Big Easy. That's my second home. Did he bring you any hot sauce back?
Hey, let me ask you a question, Marv. How did you learn that the tie went to the Big Easy?
First of all, he was missing from action. That's a military term.
Okay.
Last week. And I asked him, and, you know, I got ran out of New Orleans because I didn't marry somebody down there, and they're still mad.
They're still upset. Actually, I think Ty told me that when he was walking past the Superdome at one point, they mentioned you and the fact that you did leave a woman down there. So it's still six in their craw, Marv.
I was in the Superdome at one time, and they asked, I did the tour, and they said, what do you think? I said, well, it ain't Madison Square Garden, and they asked me to leave.
They asked you to leave the Superdome.
Because I said, I'm from New York. I'm not impressed.
Look at you. What do you got? What do you got today, buddy?
Look, picture this scenario. We're at Sing Sing Prison. It's 11 o'clock on Thursday. We're walking into the electric chair. That's the Golden State Warriors, and Monday we throw the switch.
Give me this one more time. I'm walking to the electric chair. Golden State Warriors, what's happening?
You're going to sit them in the electric chair on Monday and throw the switch. They're done.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think unless in some miraculous fashion Kevin Durant comes back, I tend to agree with you.
Yeah, because, you know, and Kyrie, my man, Mr. Leonard, the best in the league in my opinion.
He really is. Thanks for the call, Marv. And keep yourself out of trouble, would you? I agree with you. He is just sensational on both ends of the court. Big shot after big shot. Explosive score. You know, the thing about him is there's a lot of guys that you watch them play and they're loud, right? They play the game and they always have the basketball and they're very domineering and like James Harden, for example, who's a great scorer and he pounds the rock and he has the ball and he's always in control and it's just, everything goes through him. And he'll score 41, but he'll score 41 on, you know, 13 of 34 and he'll make four threes and he'll hit free throws. And then you get Kawhi Leonard, who you watch him play, and he's just sensational. But it's quiet. I mean, he scored 36 points on 11 of 22 shooting last night. He's not always with the basketball. Like, it runs through him, but it's not Harden-esque. And he's the best defender in the NBA. And he puts up, you know, 10 rebounds a game. He's just, boy, oh, boy. And what a fool DeMar DeRozan looked like this week, huh? And, you know, I laid the groundwork for this organization. And, you know, this is really my team, and now they're taking over. Stop it. What are you talking about? This team would not be here if it wasn't for Kawhi Leonard, who is so many times the player that you were. And it's not a shot at DeRozan. DeRozan's a nice player. Kawhi's in a different stratosphere. Neil in Jersey. Neil, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Dave. Good morning, man. What's going on?
What's up, Neil?
Man, I'm trying to sit here. I don't understand how you're switching. You're kind of switching from the best player in the world and trying to give it to Kevin Durant right now. You know what I mean? I don't see how you're taking it from LeBron when he's not playing. I would like to see
You could tell me LeBron. You could tell me Durant. You could tell me Kawhi, and you're not wrong on any of the three.
All right, cool. My next point is, do you think that if LeBron had the Golden State, LeBron could have had the two first championship with Cleveland against Golden State?
What do you mean, do I think he could have? Do I think he could
have
won?
Yes, all things being equal. Do you think the first two championships would have gone to Cleveland?
Probably not, no.
Because, all right, put it this way. With just a couple guys around LeBron, he took them to six games.
He's amazing. I think it's too big of an ask. I understand what you're saying. I just think it's, and thanks to the call, Neil, I just think it's too big of an ask. I mean, he can only do so much. Golden State was clearly the better teams. I mean, the only reason those series were even remotely competitive is because he's so good. So good. And you're right. I mean, we are, you know, prisoners of the moment. So right now you sit here and you say, Kawhi's the best player in the world. If Durant was playing, you might say Durant's the best player in the world. A year ago, you said LeBron was the best player in the world. Pick whoever you want. There's no wrong answer. You're on a multiple choice test. You answer A, B, or C, you're all right. Mel in Queens. Mel, you're on 98.7.
Hey, what's up, Dave? You know, I'm listening to you, man, again, man, always. You know, we had this conversation last week, man. You called me crazy because, remember I told you, I said without Kevin Durant, Golden State has no shot. And they're proving to me why right now. They're also proving to me why I explained to you last week why Golden State would have never won that first championship if Kevin Love and Kyrie Irving didn't get hurt in the finals. Bottom line is, the way Golden State played is great for in the West, but when you run up to like players like Kawhi Leonard or LeBron James, who are awesome on the wing, it's not the same. Kawhi is the best player in the series, and LeBron was the best player in the 2015 series and the 2016 series. But, you know, Golden State was able to pull one out. So without Kevin Durant, we might as well just say, you know what, it's over. Golden State.
I think it is over. Look, Klay Thompson's not healthy. Iguodala's not healthy. They're a shell of themselves. Cousins, you know, is not what you thought he would be a couple of months ago. Looney, God bless him, you know, gutted through last night. But they're not healthy. And on top of that, they don't have Kevin Durant.
But you can't say that and then you wave this 2015 banner of what their championship when they have Kyrie and Kevin Love. So we got to be consistent.
Well, like, why can't I say that Golden State won the championship? I don't care. Golden State won the title in 2015, and Toronto's going to win it this year. Toronto, you think Toronto's going to celebrate less because Golden State doesn't have their best player?
Well, I would just say my point was Golden State would have never won that first championship.
I don't agree with that.
Without Kyrie and
I do not agree with that. I think Golden State would have won both of those titles. I don't agree. I think they still would have won that title. Let's go to George in Jersey. George, you're on 98.7.
All right. So, obviously, we're looking at them down 3-1. Are they really in trouble, or do you think they can make a comeback since we know who Golden State is?
No, I think they're in severe trouble right now. I mean, severe trouble.
That's without Durant coming back. So, if he comes back, you think it's possible?
Do I think it's possible? I think it's they're a championship club. You know, they are a phenomenal all-time team. Do I think it's possible without him? I think it's possible. Do I think it's possible with him? I think it's more possible. Would I be surprised if they won this series at all right now? Yes. You don't. I mean, it's happened once in the history of the game. And now you're down 3-1 with two of those on the road. I would be stunned if Golden State came back and won this series.
One last question. So if Durant don't come back to Golden State, this is the end of the Golden State tenure right here? Or do you think they'll be okay next year?
The end of what? Of them being competitive? Of them, you know, winning 65 games and winning championships? What's the definition of the end?
Being the finals championship every year.
I'm not going to tell you it's over. No. Do I think that they come back to the pack? Absolutely. I mean, now they'd be the same team. And thanks for the call, George. They'd be a similar team because you're not going to have the same depth you used to have. And now Steph and Iguodala and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson, assuming he comes back, are that much older. But do I think that they could go back to the NBA Finals? Yes. Do I think they could lose in the second round of the postseason to the right team? Yes. I mean, could Houston get them if they make moves? Could the Clippers get them if they wind up with Kawhi and make moves? Yes. And for me, that's good for the NBA. It's good for the NBA for this dominating Golden State team to be done. It's good for the NBA for Kevin Durant to say, sayonara, going across the way, see you in New York at the Garden. Bye-bye. James in Spring Valley. James, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Dave, this is probably my biggest fear of the Raptors winning, and it's great for the NBA, I guess, but my fear is that, and I think you touched on it, the Raptors win on Monday. KD feels like, oh, well, if I played, he makes a difference. Then he stays with the Warriors. Kawhi either stays with the Raptors or goes out to the Clippers. Kyrie gets the max with Brooklyn, and then the Knicks end up getting nobody.
Chris Middleton. They're going to get Chris Middleton, and I'm going to punch Ty in the head if that happens. I will be so angry forever, for years.
my only hope is I hope that Vegas still has the odds of KD coming. I hope his mind has you know, stayed on course of coming to New York, bring whoever he wants, give him whatever he wants, or Kawhi. I'm not picky, but I want the max top flight, top five superstars. I don't want the Chris Middletons, the Jimmy Butlers, Tobias Harris. I don't want that. And I feel like this we're going down that road again. It's going to be another 5 years.
You know what, James? I'm having the same flashbacks and the same feelings, and LeBron doesn't want to come here, and you force Amari Stoudemire, and he's great for 10 minutes, and then he breaks down, and that's a catastrophic deal. And that's why I said, James, the next 3 weeks are so stressful for me and every Knicks fan out there.
Oh yeah, it is glued in. And look, we have the draft, and I'm hoping that they take RJ Barrett. They should take them,
and they will.
That's great, and they will. But my concern is that the Knicks are either going to end up with, and I'm hoping the top flight superstars, or they're going to get the middle of the road that's budding all star, but nothing, you know, like the Miltons, or they're going to end up with nothing. And I feel like we're probably going to end up with nothing. And
if they wind up with nothing, and thanks for the call, James, and I appreciate it, and I'm a big fan of yours. If they wind up with nothing, I will have such a nervous breakdown over this team. Because what are you doing? What are you doing? And then clearly, and if they don't get anything, and I'm like getting myself pre-upset about this, but if they don't get anything here, then enough of New York is anything when it comes to the NBA. Anything. A destination. A place people have any desire to go to. The Mecca. One of the great franchises in the NBA. No. If they get nothing here, I don't want to hear that ever again. I mean, I don't think you realize how important these next 3 weeks in the life of the Knicks fan is. You could be on top of the NBA. Kawhi, Durant, Nick, RJ Barrett, boom, one of the best teams in the NBA right off the bat. No thank you. RJ Barrett, nothing. You're the laughing stock. No thank you. RJ Barrett, Tobias Harris, Chris Middleton, good night. These next 3 weeks for the Knicks fan define your basketball life for the next 5 years.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
It's the same song and dance. You take a step forward, you take two steps back. You take a step forward, you take two steps back. I mean, you got six hits last night. DeGrom was not great, was good enough. Typically, you think you can win a game like that. Six innings, six hits, two runs, 10 Ks, 112 pitches. Gesellman comes in. He was inexplicably horrendous on Tuesday. Was fine last night. And then Gagneau comes in, and he soils the bed. And then the game is over. Because the bullpen is just that bad. But you can't score in a game last night against a pitcher who's comes in with an ERA over 5. Sends a Tella on Colorado. It's not like Marquez came in and shut you down. It's not even like John Gray came in and shut you down. And he goes today against Mets. You got shut down by Senzatella. 6 innings, 4 hits, 1 run. Lowers his ERA. After that terrific performance, lowers his ERA to 4.95. With a whip, mind you, of 1.53. This is the world we live in right now. You have a good win on Thursday. You got DeGrom. It's rolling downhill. You feel like finally, here we go. With 2 out of 3, get to a game of 500, split with the Yankees, and that you just can't. Every single time you think the Mets are moving in that direction, this happens. Honestly, I'm not saying get off the bandwagon. I'm not saying don't root for them. Just understand that this is what it is. This is what they're going to be. They're a bad baseball team. Brody came in and told us that they're going to, you know, shoot for the stars and flew it to the top, and we don't want any ifs. That's exactly what you have. In fact, it's worse than that. You don't even have ifs in the bullpen. You have known quantities that just are incapable. Ifs would be an upgrade from what you have in the bullpen. You know what I mean? Jairus Familia is not an if. Familia is a disaster. if you didn't know what he was going to give you, it would be better than what he does. He's terrible. And Gagneau and Gesellman and Santiago and Justin Wilson, if he ever gets healthy. It's the same song and dance over and over and over. Yankees lose last night. Plesac pitches really, he's a very, very good pitcher. And for those of you old enough, Zach Plesac is Dan Plesac's nephew, I believe. And he threw over 100 pitches, and he was very, very good. Yankees had a 2-0 lead in the game last night, scored a single run in the second and the third, and then slowly fell apart. 2-6 from Cleveland, and their bullpen did a good job taking over from there. Again, it's hard to destroy the Yankees. It really is. I mean, Herman wasn't awful. He gave you 6 innings of 4-run ball. Hale came in to try to mop things up to keep you close in that game. You've lost 4 of 5. I mean, it's not great. Tampa wins. You're not thrilled about that. It's hard for me. Look, you get swept in the series, okay. But it's hard for me to take any Yankee loss or 4 out of 5 losing streak all that seriously because they're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. Is it a good loss? No. I mean, he led 2-0. You had Herman on the mound. He was 9-1. You start to think that maybe we'll win this game. You're not thrilled about the loss last night if you're the Yankees. But again, I don't think it's a terrible loss. You got CeCe on the mound against somebody by the name of Adam Plutko today. And you hope to get back into your winning ways. 800-919-3776. We haven't spent any time on what the Jets did yesterday. So apparently, they hired Joe Douglas. That's now done. Apparently, this negotiating started out with a deal for $1.5 million a year. And he wound up getting $3 million per year. So he wins there. The Jets obviously were desperate for Joe Douglas. See, here's the thing. The way the media and the fans have felt about the way the Jets have handled themselves over the last 3 to 4 weeks, you had to get the number one guy you wanted. There's no two ways about this. You couldn't go after Joe Douglas and nickel and dime him and not get him and then wind up with your third or fourth choice. There was only one choice. Gase wanted him. Chris Johnson does what Gase wants. Now you get Joe Douglas. I think it's a good hire. I for the life of me, I do not understand why you hired him on June 7th and not on February 7th, but it is what it is. And now I think, and we'll see. I mean, I'm somewhat optimistic about the Jets. I know Rick is not. I know Chris is not. I'm somewhat optimistic about where the Jets are right now. And we will wait and we will see. They're a much better team than they were. I think he'll be a better head coach than what you had. And now you have a GM in place who seems like he's very capable. Walter in Yonkers. Walter, you're on 98.7 ESPN. Walter. Oh, Walter's not there. All right, let's move along and let's bring in Marcus in Tampa. Marcus, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Good morning, Dave. How you doing, brother?
What's up, Marcus? How are you?
I'm fine. I want to make a Knicks and a Nets point. First thing about the Knicks, and I'm a lifelong Knicks fan, but I'm a realist. I'm not a delusional Knicks fan. After the LeBron James situation in 2010, I never bought into the whole Kevin Durant hype. Me personally, I felt that, like, your colleagues at your company, a lot of your colleagues at your company.
What do you mean you never bought in Kevin Durant to the Knicks hype? Not that you never bought into the Kevin Durant hype.
I never bought into Kevin Durant to the Knicks hype.
Gotcha. Okay. I thought you were saying you never bought into Kevin Durant being a superstar hype, and I was gonna move on from you.
No, definitely he's a superstar.
Okay.
He's definitely. But as far as a Knicks fan, me at 43 years old, I truly believe that our path to greatness comes to the draft. I don't think nobody's going to want to come to the New York Knicks as with James Dolan being the owner. And I understand, you know, he's not in charge no more, but still, James Dolan still is the owner. Now, a Nets point real quick. Everybody's all...
Well, let me comment, Marcus, I'm not going to let you go. I'll let you get your Nets point. Let me comment on that. I mean, look, you're right. I don't know that you're right that no one's going to want to come here. You're right. If they don't come here, and their rationale behind it, and they may make it public, is because of the owner, you have a severe problem. But right now, the floor is yours. You're Kevin Durant.
Okay.
You can own New York. You can own the Garden. You can come here with another elite player, and you can have a big-time prospect. If this does not happen now, I don't know that the Knicks ever are able to, implement this free agency with the draft as a way to build a team. I don't think it ever works.
Okay. Real quick, as far as like I said, I think that our path to greatness is through the draft, and it starts with R.J. Barrett and this draft that just happened. I think we hit on these kids. Like I said, it's going to be through the draft. As far as Dolan and the Nets, I want to talk about the Nets. I'm sorry. Everybody's all in hoopla with the Nets. Let's not act like 5 years ago the Nets weren't dysfunctional. Billy King had traded all these young assets for washed up players.
Yeah, but they're not like dysfunctional now, Marcus.
No, I know. And let's talk about the Knicks. The Knicks are year two into their real deal with Perry, David Fisdale, and Mills. You know, we understand that Dolan is still
I understand
the
only one. That there's multiple ways to go about it. And the way that we've been sold this, Marcus, is we're going to bring in the elite free agent. If you don't bring in the elite free agent now, then the Knicks fan feels like, A, they've been lied to, and B, it's disingenuous, Marcus.
Dave, but why do people still buy into it when we know that Knicks have always been used for leverage? We've been used for leverage by players with their agents threatening us through the years just to get higher contracts. I don't understand why.
Well, Marcus, you could be right. It has felt different to me this time. I mean, yeah, you had Stephen A.
I'm sorry for you, Dave. I'm sorry.
Yes. I'm telling you, Marcus, if I get nothing or if I get Chris Middleton and Tobias Harris, you should.
The world is not it's not the end of the world for me as a Knicks fan. Like I said, the foundation will be set with the Kings.
No, it
ends.
You know what? What foundation? Marcus, what foundation? If I get RJ Barrett in the same slop next year, what foundation is set for me?
The foundation is set not for you. For my grandkids and my kids, Dave.
I don't care about your grandkids. I want a championship. I need a title.
I don't care about you, Dave.
I'm done with you. You think I care about your grandkids? I'm 46 years old. My hair is gray. I've never seen a Knicks title. I'm caring about Marcus's grandchildren in the year 2080. Oh, for God's sakes. His grandkids. I'm this close to bringing in Kevin Durant and Kawhi Leonard. One, both, Kyrie, who knows? And I should worry about my grandkids' viewing of the Knicks. My little one is 8. We went to the game on MLK Day. Knicks Thunder. I brought him into the studio. It's freezing. I mean, I think it was the coldest day of the entire season. And all he cares about, Westbrook, Paul George, Steven Adams, because they were playing OKC. And he's sitting there in the control room, and Rick walks past him. He says, Alex, who are you excited to see today? Westbrook. Who else? Paul George. Who? Anybody else? Steven Adams. He says, are you excited to see the Knicks? Alex looks up from his iPad and asks Rick about it and says, looks him dead in the eye and says, would you be? The 8-year-old Knicks fan knows. So I'm supposed to worry about 3 generations down the road? No, I'm not worried about your kids. I'm not worried about your nieces. I'm not worried about your nephews. I'm not worried about my kids. I'm not worried about my grandkids. I'm worried about me. I want a title.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com. He's pompous.
Listen, shut up and I'll tell you the story.
He's arrogant.
Do you think there's a lot of things out there that I wouldn't be good at?
And sometimes he's downright mean.
I know you know what that's like, to be that uncomfortable, pimply face, not very popular kid.
But now it's your chance to prove him wrong.
It's dumb.
Call 800-919-3776 with your question and let's stump Dave Rothenberg.
Well, you can try. I don't know how much success, in fact, you'll have. And Stump Rothenberg is brought to you by the law offices of Andrew M. Cohen. 800-919-3776. You want to ask me movies? You can. TV, history, geography, science, nature, entertainment, politics, sports, wherever you'd like to go, that's where we go. Now, Ty, you have screened all the callers that are waiting on hold right now.
That is correct.
Would you say that these are top level questions ready to go?
I would say so. I would rate it at about an 8.5.
But you feel good about it. These are singular answers, not give me 8 of the 10 guys who completed, nothing like that.
Yes, these are singular answers.
Singular answers. So one guess for me,
mm-hmm.
or answer for me, one correct answer from them. We're going to go rapid fire. You ready to start?
Let's do it.
All right, let's go. John in Queens. John, you lead us off on a Saturday edition of Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning, Dave, and thank you for letting me lead off.
Hopefully, you're very welcome.
This is a movie question.
Okay.
In the Ten Commandments, okay. there are two parts that are unseen voice parts only. Who are the two people who did those voices?
So they're not seen in the movie?
Right.
You hear them,
but don't see them. Actually, I'll tell you who the parts are. It's the narrator and the voice of God. So who are the two people who did those two parts?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. I don't know. Please tell me these are famous people.
They're very famous people.
They're very famous people. Okay. I'm going to go with Larry David and George Brett.
Michelle.
Who? Look at you. Look at you hosting the segment. God, who are they?
Okay. The narrator was the director, Cecil B. DeMille.
All right.
And the voice of God was Charlton Heston. Who, of course, plays the Moses.
Right. All right. So, all right. That's kind of tricky, but you're good. I didn't know it anyhow, so that's good.
Oh for one, baby.
See, now why do you take such excitement in me getting that wrong?
Well, because sometimes the callers think that I'm feeding you answers.
And no, they don't.
I want to create that level
there
of,
is,
you know.
There is. Can we agree? There is no one that would like to see me fail more than you.
I don't want to see you fail. I just want to create that level of transparency.
You feed me the answers. Dave in Jersey. Dave, you're up on Stump Rothenberg.
Yeah, how you doing, Dave?
Yeah, all right.
Okay, so if the Raptors and Blues win their championships this year, they'll uh-huh. be the first in franchise history for both of them.
Uh-huh.
When was the last season the NBA and NHL had first-time champions in franchise history?
Oh, boy. NHL. So let's think now. This is going to take me a second. So the Canucks have never won it. I feel like this is going to take me time. Let me think. First time winners. How about when the Bulls won it in that era? No, because then the Canadians won it. Boy, I don't think I'm going to know it. How about 06? Who won the NBA championship in 06? I'm going to go 06.
Wow, that's good. Yeah, the Heat.
Yeah. There you go. It just took a couple minutes to work through the last champions. All right, let's go. That's 1-1. Let's go to Jose in Patterson. Jose, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, great to hear from you. I've always wanted to be on this segment. Love
it. Is this a bucket list segment for you?
Yes, it is. I'm on with all the other guys all the time, and I said I got to get on Stump Rothenberg. And the only thing I could think of was a good 80s movies question for you.
Okay.
Okay. In the classic 80s G.I. Joe movie cartoon, not the regular series cartoon, the movie cartoon, which you've had to see because you're an 80s guy, who plays the voice of Falcon?
Oh, God. Is Don Johnson?
Wow.
Yeah.
Give him the ringer, guys.
Give him, as the man says, give him the ringer, guys. Don Johnson was once married to who, Ty?
Hey, this is not going to get you any extra points. You're 2-1.
I don't need extra points. I'm already 2-1. Chris and Bethpage. Chris, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Melanie Griffin.
There you go, Chris. You get a ding. Give him a ding, Mish. Nice, Chris.
By the way, Dave, if you're ever on vacation, I'd love to come in and host a segment for you because I'm the James Holzhauer of my community.
Yeah, I think you should. When I go, I'm going away in July and in August again. We'll get you in to host the show.
I would love to do it.
Yeah.
15 minutes, I'll bang it out.
Definitely.
Anyhow, who was the first president born in the United States?
Oh.
I know you like presidential trivia.
Well, I like it all. First president born in the U.S.
Right. He wasn't born in the colonies.
Yeah. All right. So let me think. It's not Henry Harrison. Is it Van Buren?
Very good.
Yeah. Martin Van Buren. That's the first. That's a good question. All right, what are we now, Ty? 3-1?
Yep, 3-1.
3-1. Rolling right along. Ty, would you like to ask a question?
Yeah, sure. I've got a question for you.
I'd like to hear it. So, this is, of course, NBA Finals.
NBA Finals 2013, Game 6 in Miami. Mm-hmm. The Heat were about to lose. Of course, Ray Allen hits the shot. Who gets the assist on the made basket by Ray Allen?
Boy.
Give you a hint. He also got the rebound.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly. I'm gonna guess. I'm gonna guess Mike Miller.
No, I'm sorry. Streak over. Chris Bosh, come on. Chris Bosh. He got the rebound, passed it out to Ray Allen on the side corner. Tony Parker couldn't recover.
All right. You get it. That's nice. Very well played. Still, I feel good about where we've gone here so far tonight. Let's go Trey in Brooklyn. Trey, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Dave, that was actually a very underrated question that Ty just gave you
there.
That
was a good question. Ty is so far from decent at this game.
You and Ty hate each other, so I mean, it doesn't matter.
I wouldn't say it's a hate. I'd say it's more of a mutual lack of admiration for each other. More than it. Hate is a very strong word.
A workplace respect as well, Dave.
Go ahead, Trey. You're up.
All right, so the genre is Disney movies. Are you good on that?
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay. In 2009, The Princess and the Frog came out. Okay? That was that featured a cast that had that all the actors did all the singing, all acting. Okay? What was the last movie that Disney released that had a cast that did that? All the singing, all the acting in every part of the movie.
Snow White.
Mish.
What's the answer?
Beauty and the Beast, 91, Dave. You're all right, though, Dave. You're all right.
I'm all right. All right, we're still about 500, I think. I think we're sitting here at 4-3.
That's not our standard, though. We don't want to just be right above 500.
If you're hitting 500, if I told you that Aaron Judge would hit 500, you'd go crazy.
We don't aim for 500. We aim for 9-2. You know,
well, nobody's aiming for 500, but to be here 4-3 is pretty good,
It's disappointing. That's what it is.
You're out of your mind. You know what? When I'm on vacation, here's what I want. I want the fill-in host and the two of you to put your heads together for Stump Rothenberg and see if you'd love to get to 500.
All right, we'll do it, and we'll be better than 500.
I'll take that challenge.
Good. I'd like to see it. Now, they can't tell you the question they're going to ask, and then get on the air and ask you the question.
So who's going to screen the calls then?
Well, that's management's job to figure out. Mike in Manhattan. Mike, you're on Stump Rothenberg.
Good morning. The only man to have the number one movie, number one book, and number one television show all in the same week.
Michael Crichton.
No, Tim Allen.
All right. Now we're at 500. 800-919-3776. Let's go to Mark in Jersey. Mark is on Stump Rothenberg.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
You got it, Mark.
Since today is the Belmont.
Oh, God.
Who is the first son or daughter of the great racehorse Secretariat to win a Triple Crown race? I can give you a hint if you need a hint.
Is it? It's not, I don't know, Summer Squall?
No, that's wrong.
Was that was a horse from Secretariat, wasn't it?
No, Summer Squall was not from Secretariat.
Oh, all right. So what's the
first
answer?
The first one to win a Triple Crown race was Risen Star.
Yeah,
They have a stakes race named after Risen Star now, called Risen Star Stakes.
All right, terrific. Let's move on. 800-919-3776. Mish, you got a question?
Yes.
The early 80s movies or wherever you're
going
to go?
No, I'm going music.
Okay.
So name the first woman inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame twice.
So this means that she is in singularly and in a band.
Yes.
All right, so I'm thinking Aretha Franklin, but I'm not sure if that's the answer. Stevie Nicks?
That's correct.
All right, that's a nice question.
Only a nice question because you got it right. You've been stinking up the joint today.
When you heard the secret, I'm 500, first of all. Before we even move on, I'm sitting here at 5-5. So you worry about
if Jacob DeGrom finishes the season 5-5, are you happy with that? No, you're not.
You can't compare it to that. If Kawhi Leonard finishes the finals shooting 50% from three or the field, are you happy with that?
Yeah, I'm happy.
I can spin it any way I'd like, Ty.
Okay.
And that was a good question. When you heard the
you get into a car accident, if every time you drive, yeah, half the time you get into a car accident, are you happy with that?
If you go to a bar and half the time you leave with the most beautiful woman, are you happy with that? We can play this game back and forth, and we will not continue. James in Queens, you're on Stump Rothenberg, James.
Hey, good morning. The Giants have won
James?
Four Super Bowls.
What's the question?
The Giants have won four Super Bowls. Name all four cities they won in where the Super Bowls were.
All right, so Pasadena, Tampa Bay, the Glendale, and Indianapolis.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, what a surprise that is. And now we nudge ahead of the 500 marker. Should we stop right there on the Giants question?
Do you dare take another call?
I don't know. Come on. We got to end it with that, right?
No, I think you got to flirt with danger here.
No. No. I've hit two in a row.
And plus, that question was an easy one for you.
That's a layup.
Did you know that?
No, but
okay,
for you.
So, you know, you make it sound, I mean, because I give you such confidence in my knowledge. But to sit here and say that was an easy one.
Well, we're talking to like the biggest Giants fan that there is.
Okay.
So that one was a layup.
You say it's a layup. I don't know. And in fact, that was such a layup.
For you, it was.
Ty, did you know the answer to that?
I knew the last two, obviously. The first two, no. You got to go. Come on, Dave.
One more?
One more.
But I don't want to end on a loss.
Yeah, but you don't want to end by backing, you know, circumventing the final question just because you were afraid of it.
How did I circumvent it?
Well, if you don't take his call.
Well, yeah, but if I get this wrong, we're going to continue then.
Okay.
All right, Mike in Massapequa. Mike, make this a layup for me, would you?
Hey, Dave, you're going down big time. Sorry.
See, I didn't want to take this call.
This is a revenge because I had tried to call during the off time. You're like, no, you can't do it. Got to do it on Saturday.
Great.
So here we are.
All right.
The writer of the Sesame Street theme song also wrote the theme song for what other iconic TV show?
Oh, God. Iconic TV show. So Sesame Street. I don't think I know. The guy's name, I think, is Joe Raposo, isn't it?
That is correct.
Yeah, but I don't. It's probably another child's show. I'm going to say Electric Company.
That's no. He wrote. It was Three's Company.
All right. Here's what I'd like to do, Ty. I'd like to challenge. I'd like to see if he wrote the theme song to Electric Company.
Okay.
Ty, I'd like you to use the Google.
So you want to do a booth review here?
I'm throwing the challenge flag. And I'd like you to Google that. And when we come back, I would like to find out if, in fact, he wrote the theme song to the Electric Company. If he did, I'd like you to, Mish, to play the theme song to Electric Company, and I'd like the dinger multiple times during it. Is that fair?
That is fair. But do you feel comfortable in that your answer might be incorrect? So now you're going to break on two incorrect answers in a row?
That I got wrong when I guessed, and then I'm wrong in the challenge?
And then the previous caller. So you're going.
The previous caller was correct.
But you're going into this on a losing streak.
You know what? You go away.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Hey, you guys!
All right, Rothenberg with you, 98.7 ESPN. What song might this be, Ty?
What the Electric Company theme song.
Oh, the Electric Company theme song, written by who, Ty?
I don't know. Tell us, Dave.
That'd be one Joe Raposo, Ty.
So that means
which
what?
Which means, Mish, that what happened? Thank you, you very much. And that'll officially put a close to Stump Rothenberg, which is brought to you by the law offices of one Andrew M. Cohen. Whether the issue is simple or complex, the law office of Andrew M. Cohen can help you achieve your needs through careful legal planning. Call 516-877-0595. Once again, the phone number is 516-877-0595 or visit amcohenlaw.com. That's amcohenlaw.com. And I feel completely vindicated at this very moment. Completely, Ty. Which means that we finished Stump Rothenberg at a juicy 7-5.
That's not bad.
And the rest of my day can now go on without shame.
That's not bad.
It's good.
If you win seven out of every of each of your 12 battles, you'll feel pretty good about that.
Seven out of 12. Yeah, in this I think it's a solid performance. Here's what I honestly want: when I am off next time on a Saturday, I want the replacement host and the two of you to all work together and do an edition of Stump Rothenberg, and then come at me and say, you know what, 7 out of 12, Dave, that's pretty good.
But look what you're doing. You're putting yourself on our playing field. You're supposed to be above everyone else.
Well, I don't think you'll get 7 of 12, and we will find out when that day comes this summer. 800-919-3776. Let's go through some diamond notes on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by H.L. Gross Jewelers. I mean, diamond notes. We know what the Mets are. And here's the thing. It's now on us. If you're going to foolishly sit here and think that this is going to become different, then you're out of your mind. Honestly, if you sit here and think that the Mets are going to change, that all of a sudden this bullpen is going to be better, guys, this is what they are. They're a middling baseball team. They're a mediocre baseball team. And they're going to win games on Thursdays against the Giants. And they're going to lose games the next night against the Rockies, and it's going to happen in June, and it's going to happen in July and August, and this is what they are. So really, rather than butt your head against the wall and ram it into the wall time and time and time again, be honest about it. This is exactly what they are. It's not them that there's the issue with. It's us for thinking it's going to be any different. And those are your diamond notes, brought to you by H.L. Gross Jewelers, Long Island's family jeweler since 1910. Whether it's shopping for an engagement ring, dazzling piece of jewelry, or Swiss timepiece, H.L. Gross has you covered. Visit H.L. Gross in Garden City or at hlgross.com.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Little Zeppelin for RJ Bell. He's with Rothenberg and you on a Saturday morning, 98.7 ESPN. You in the hundreds today out in Vegas?
You know, I haven't even glanced out. I go days sometimes without leaving the house.
I'm surprised you don't have like an underground passage you can get from your house to the casinos.
It's from the house and I rush out with my hands over my face, not from the paparazzi, the sun, and then get in the luxury car that was pre-started by my ignition out, you know, at home and drive away to the casino.
You are absolutely too much. You have no idea if it's 72 or 97.
Well,
right,
I can look at the phone, Dave. I mean, I do the weather on my show every, it's kind of, a spoof, but it's kind of fun. And it's been 100 the last, it was 100 the last 2 days of the week. So pulling it up right now. Oh, last night it was 78. It's still only 78, but today is supposed to get to 96. Oh. And tomorrow, Monday, 102. Next week in Vegas, weather. All right. 102 Monday, 106, 107, 106.
Now, we actually just gave away on our show, Humpty, Canty, and Rothy on 98.7, a trip to Vegas to UFC 239.
So you've anglicized your name to Rothy?
Well, because it's Humpty. Ends in the Y.
No, I know, but Canty, you have a long history of your people having their name chopped up for the convenience of others. You should be resisting that.
Well, on a Saturday, it's Rothenberg full through. But when I'm going Humpty and Canty, it flows better.
Why don't you have
you
his
Rothy?
Name? Why don't you call him Humpty Berg and Rothenberg?
Humpty Berg, Canty Berg, and Rothenberg? maybe we will. Sponsored by Stripes Matzah, right? Maybe that's what we'll do. Now, I don't know what I was going to say. Yes, now I do. So This is what you do. You have an unbelievable knack of getting me completely.
You're a professional. I can try. This is like walking without a net. People don't realize it.
But yeah, I'm like, what's the Walenda brothers. So here's
the older brother that died in a crash.
Well, not like him, hopefully. Like the Nick Walenda that's been successful so far. So here, so guy wins the trip to Vegas, UFC 239. We were thinking it might be nice if you went out for dinner with him while he was there.
You know, that would be tough, but if I had to swing by as a courtesy and do a handshake, I would.
You would?
Yeah, probably. But probably I'd have someone run down with an iPad and I'd teleport in, you know. There'd be a video of me saying hi to him.
No, I understand. All right, can we get to the world of sports and sports?
Hey, Dave, you're
please?
The boss. I'm just responding to you.
All right, here we go. NBA Finals. Firstly, has Vegas done well or poorly so far in these NBA Finals?
You know, that's interesting because during the NFL season and even college football, that is kind of a narrative, is the idea of how's a team, you know, how's Vegas doing?
Mm-hmm.
On these games, I haven't thought of it that way, but I know this. Toronto has gotten a ton of money the last two games, and they've not only covered, they've won outright as dogs. And I think the game before game four, so game three, mm-hmm. was
when
really
Clay didn't play, right?
Yeah, it was really instructive with one of my pet peeves. I'm one to take betting seriously. Otherwise, I don't get up on the soapboxes other than, you know, freedom in general, I think, and things like D-Day, we should appreciate the sacrifice. Yeah, I get into that, but not the politics. But boy, I pound my fist on this one. You know Wall Street. The city knows Wall Street very well. A lot of great things, a lot of, you know, questionable things. But one thing we do know is if you make a mistake and it's obvious, you're going to get dinged. And I get the whole financial crisis. You could say who really got dinged, but insider trading, people get dinged. And if you look at Elon Musk, for example, tweeted out something about his company off the cuff. I think they fined him $25 million, but it was a huge number for a tweet. Right? Okay. That's the SEC covering what? A financial market. Well, sports betting is a financial market. Go over to Jersey. You can bet a lot of money. Vegas, it's spreading. We're talking millions on an NBA Finals mm-hmm. game. Why isn't the NBA, why isn't the NFL, with this girly news this week, shining a light on that deception the Rams pulled during the Super Bowl?
But we know it. We knew that was happening.
But just because we're smart enough to say Enron, maybe the books were cooked, doesn't mean the Enron guys don't go to jail.
So why are not teams being
why
fined?
Why aren't
for
the
their
teams obligated to tell us the truth about injuries?
Because there's a lot of people right now, RJ, that think that Kevin Durant tore his Achilles. Now, I, for one, am not one of those people. There are people that right now think that the Warriors unequivocally, absolutely know that there's zero chance that he returns. They're just playing a big game here.
I think Coach Kerr is a borderline brilliant coach. I think right now if I had, other than his back, other than all the titles, maybe he retires. If it was just everyone's going to coach to their 70, I'd take Kerr above even Stevens today. I know Stevens gets a lot of love. Pop, obviously, at the end of the road with that. Okay, I think he's awesome. I also think he's a good guy. I've probably listened to Kerr.
I agree with you. I actually think he's probably a better guy than a coach.
And I don't know Kerr personally, but I've listened to, you know, probably 10 hours of podcasts with him. It's hard to fake it. You know, he seems like a good guy. I'll say that. All that said, he systematically is deceiving on purpose. That both directions, who's going to play, he's making it a better chance that a guy that's not going to play is going to play, the perception, and vice versa. Looney, I mean, come on, you know, whatever happened, good or bad, you know, the idea out for the series, and then, you know, we'll give it a go. It's like, come on. And I get it. Why would he, like Belichick, want the other team to have more information? I get it. It's the league's obligation.
I agree.
In 3 years, we're going to look back on this and say, geez, that was so obvious. Why didn't we see it so clearly? You can't have people betting on stuff and the league is being okay with misinformation. You know why? Because the only people that will have the right information then are the really big professional gamblers. That's why the NFL was smart decades ago to say you got to have an injury report. They just have to enforce it with tens of millions of dollars if people lie.
All right, so game five, Toronto home. They're only favored by 3. We assume Klay Thompson's going to play. We have no idea what's going to happen with Kevin Durant, although we assume at this point he's probably not going to play. Where do you lean for game five?
Well, I hear Durant isn't even having a practice. And again, you hear different things. That initial practice you'd have to have where it looks like he's almost going full go. So, yeah, I would agree with you. Though, who knows, I would be very pessimistic about Durant. And remember, home court's worth four in the NBA with Toronto, but generally four, and Toronto's also four. This line is saying...
So that's an eight-point swing, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
And that's what it was, really, right? So Golden State was favored in a quote-unquote must-win or a high max intensity spot in Game 4. They were favored by five. 1 point better than four, which means Golden State 1 point better with extra motivation. Golden State elimination game now in Toronto, extra motivation, 1 point better. Instead of getting four, they're getting three. Toronto favored. So the market is saying... Give him a half point or so for extra motivation, and we still consider Golden State to be the better team. I think that's probably justified because over, you know, 82 games plus playoff round one, two, and three, Toronto was not even in the league of Golden State when it came to how good they were perceived to be. Though one of our guys, Fezzik, made a great point. Probably no team... Their regular season was more diluted than Toronto of teams that made, let's say, the final eight, meaning they had the load management with Kawhi. They had the trade, so they didn't have Gasol. Like, this team today really wasn't the team you saw during the regular season. And because of that, I think Toronto came into the playoffs underrated, and we're probably seeing that.
So would you lean Toronto in Game 5, assuming Durant's not going to play, and they just beat them twice in Golden State? They have a chance at home to close this one out? Is that – I mean, it feels almost too good to be true right now.
Well, here's the thing, though. I mean, imagine if Michael, for those who are above, what, I don't know, 40 at this point, 38 – he's like a demigod, right? You look back, and he never would lose. He'd fly in with his cape, but he really was like that. He really would. I remember rooting against him for a long time, and I was a kind of a Larry Bird guy. And
I couldn't stand him. I'm a Knicks fan.
Yeah, I hear you.
And a Georgetown fan. He beat me in '82, and he just kept beating me.
Yeah, and I tell you, unless he went 2 years without playing and came back, you know, and had a ball stolen against Orlando.
Won eight in a row.
Yeah, he's not going to lose. At least, again, he's got that history. Now, Golden State, the last 3 years, is unequivocally better relative to the competition. All right, and that's the key. Then Jordan's Bulls were the last three titles. It's not even close. Entering each year, it was Jordan and the Bulls, even money pretty much, the better years against the field. Golden State was minus 150, minus 200. You know, so, these years. So the idea of them losing a closeout game and you're getting points, think about it, you're getting points with the best team in NBA history in a closeout game. So on one hand, I get it. Toronto has won three games so far and it tells you they're competitive. On the other hand, you've got the best team in NBA history by the Vegas perspective getting points. Here's why I won't, though, take Golden State. The whole idea of Kerr without Durant presupposes a short period of time. One game, maybe two, three, four, maybe five. But once you start moving into Steph playing game after game after game where he's the alpha, I think you're seeing a little bit of a breakdown with Steph. That he isn't built to do the alpha stuff like he was maybe 4 years ago.
I said it earlier on the show. Early, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago, maybe Golden State could have come back from 3-1, but they're not the same young, youthful, you know, team with boundless energy that they once were, RJ.
But if Durant, remember, game 3 and 4 were the only games, or between them. So game 3 happened, 1 day off, game 4. Only time in the series. 2 games, you know, right? Or 2 days before Monday.
Right.
And then 2 days after that, so et cetera. So to me, the fatigue factor was going to be more in game 4, and that was why Klay being out in game 3 was so, so tough for Golden State, because now, after all these high-pressure games with Steph being the alpha, now Steph is the alpha and the number two, in a way, scoring with Clay out. And remember, and we gave Coach Kerr a lot of credit, let's take some back. Why was Curry in that game when that game was decided, game three? There was one day off only, and they were down 12, like, you know, it was over.
It was over in the final moments.
And I know that Steph was having one of those kind of go back in history, and the kids that are 15 now are going to be talking about Steph in that game. I get putting up 40-some, and you know, but if he would have put up 38, it still could have been a good story. I think Kerr got caught up in the moment. I'm not saying that was the difference, but I don't see what the rationale was to have Kerr in that game.
All right, 800-919-3776. We're Curry. Just minutes away from Belmont Stakes conversation, where RJ is going to speak to his people and get you the insight that you need. We're going to give you some odds and numbers as far as Durant, Kawhi, Kyrie are concerned. And there might be the most sure bet in the history of gambling tomorrow morning, which we're going to lead you down as well. That's next right here on 98.7 ESPN. Mish, we got to have Zeppelin. It puts RJ in a very good mood. All right, we'll give
I'll make sure to come back with that.
Yeah, it's a bad job by you. We'll give you what I think is the slam dunk of all slam dunk bets in about 12 minutes. But, RJ, you actually have updated, ready-to-go information about the Belmont Stakes, which we will get to in a moment. But firstly, I'd like to tell you about the RJ Bell segment of the Dave Rothenberg Show on 98.7 ESPN. And it's brought to you by Smirnoff Spiked Sparkling Seltzers. Say hi, summer, and buy sugar with Smirnoff Seltzer with zero sugar and only 90 calories. Smirnoff Spiked Sparkling Seltzer, not easy to say, premium-flavored malt beverage, the Smirnoff Company, Norwalk, Connecticut. All right, RJ, hit me with some Belmont stuff. Hit me.
Well, first, let's talk about the generational problems this country has. I mean, I don't know.
And I lead us astray, right?
Yeah, I don't know your team personally, but I've been, you know, working with them almost a year. Very nice. Saturday morning, you never hear gruffness. Very professional.
Very pleasant, very kind, very nice.
But just from their voices, I'm guessing younger.
I think Ty is 26. And
that's
and
younger than.
Mish is also in her 20s.
And it strikes me a lack of appreciation of Zeppelin, fundamental issue, and we need to somehow get the education system straight, that's part of the, you know, groundwork of...
You're wrong. It goes even beyond that, and I'll tell you why. And now you've led me astray, and I'll get in trouble for not sticking with what we're trying to get into here. But it has nothing to do with fundamental issue of Zeppelin. You said at the start of the show, I like Zeppelin, I'd appreciate Zeppelin. She hits you with one Zeppelin song and then goes away from it. Just paying attention to what you're looking for is a fundamental issue.
Behind the scenes, I'm sometimes a little gruff myself because I don't, you know, really tolerate any BS. And with these guys, I've never got it, but I like to kind of, you know, like put fear into underlings. So maybe I rubbed them the wrong way at the beginning, and I've been really nice since, but they still remember that. And now when I say I want Zeppelin, they say anything but Zeppelin.
Yeah. That's what they're doing to you right now. All right. So do you want to – I mean, that's what they're doing.
It's kind of like Bill O'Reilly offset, you know.
Do you want to go to a couple of calls, or do you want to give us your Belmont insight?
We had the best call last week. That Fran was awesome.
Fran in Massapequa.
Tell Fran I'm a fan at this point. Let's get the Belmont straight because I've got some picks here.
Go ahead.
This is coming from Fred Fowler, who is ESPN Houston. I know that's not big NYC, but that's a pretty big city, and they're the number one drive time guys down there. But he actually wrote a book on horse racing, and he likes, and I don't know, so I'm going passing on Fred. He likes Tacitus, and Tacitus is spelled Tacitus as a horse with a really good chance to win. Two long shots, Master Fencer, and Bourbon War. That sounds like Saturday night where I grew up. All right, Bourbon War and Master Fencer, long shots. Tacitus is a heck of a chance to win.
I got to be honest, I'm very underwhelmed.
Well, what was it? What was
I thought you have some guy locked in the closet who's you're gonna open it up and he's gonna come out and give you all sorts of horse racing information. You go to Google. You look it up. Fred Siegel down in Houston. I mean, I thought you have a guy.
First of all, it's Fred Fow. Just because it's not New York, Dave. If they called your last name Rossi, wouldn't you be upset? Oh wait.
No, they call me Rothy on the show.
Rothy, not Rothy. Yeah. Okay. See, it's so many names. Who knows?
No. I don't. I mean, you're calling Fred Siegel down. No. That does not impress me. You have a Fezzik. I thought you'd go to Fezzik. Fezzik's your guy. Fezzik.com. He'll give you odds for the Belmont Stakes.
All joking aside, Fezzik knows nothing about horse racing because you can't be a true expert at anything today unless you're a specialist. And it's really tough because Fezzik does, let's say, college football and NFL, and he really doesn't sleep much for 6 months because he's just trying to do two things. The idea that you're doing horse racing on top of it, it's not magic, man. Fezzik's really smart, but there's a lot of really smart guys. You got to specialize. So a guy that writes a book on horse racing, that's your guy, not Fezzik. It'd be his ninth priority that day.
So Tacitus, that's the horse to bet on.
Oh, now you're backtracking a little bit. That's good thinking, though.
No, you know what? There are people that are going to place their wagers on the Belmont Stakes based on what Fred Siegel said that you're gonna be the
Fowler,
voice of.
Fowler, just because his name, who knows? He could take your job. Who knows?
I'm worried about Fred Fowler.
You think a Houston accent would go over well in NYC?
No, he'd want to talk Astros and Rockets all the time. He'd be completely out of his element. I'm from here, baby. I'm the pulse of New York sports.
Oh Lord, get that drop.
Yeah. All right. So is that where we're going? Tacitus? Do you even have odds of this horse?
I mean, I don't know if you know this. Horse racing is parimutuel, which means the odds change every second.
No, I understand, but at the moment, do you really have any idea what the? I mean, is he a 50-1 long shot?
Get your team back there to look it up. You know what's funny? I do an hour a day. I don't want to say it's bigger than this, but. And I don't have to do anything. They turn the mic on, I talk. I've gotten 4 different homework assignments just during this show. Get us odds on this. Get us that. What about the French Open? It's like I'm paid labor here. Let's just say that. And
you're earning your money. You're a tremendous talent.
Oh my gosh. I have more hassles in this hour than I do in a week.
Tell me you don't adore this hour.
I actually do. Cause you know why? You're fun, but I love New York. I really love New York.
Exactly. All right. Let's go to some of these callers now. Richard in Manhattan. Richard, you're on 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, Dave, by the way, hi, RJ, hi, Dave. By the way, Georgetown lost to North Carolina, but Jordan didn't beat you. Freddie Brown beat you.
Mm-hmm. Well, he passed it to James Worthy, Richard. Right. Thanks for rubbing that in.
All right. RJ, would I get 15-1 right now if I take the Warriors to win the series?
Oh, you know, let me get the updated odds, but I'd be shocked if they were that high. Is that what you heard?
No, I would take 15.
Oh, you're just making your own number up. Sure. Okay. All right, so the updated number, that'd be nice. I could win if I did that, for sure. Okay, so after game 4, you can get plus 450 on the Warriors. So a little less than 30% of your desired payout. So it's about 4.5 to 1, and if you want to bet on Toronto, lay 6 to win 1.
So 6-1 favorites, and then it's plus 450 on the return. Let's go to Sal in Dutchess. Sal is on 98.7 ESPN.
How you doing, guys?
What's up, Sal?
Good question. I got a couple of questions. One of them, how come some of the horses that ran in the Kentucky and the Preakness are not running? Like some of the big ones, the one that bumped and all that stuff.
You know something? It's almost like we planned this call, because one macro horse racing tidbit I can give, because I've done more than a few podcasts about, let's say, the Belmont, but I don't know the horses this year, but I know the macro trends. The Belmont is the longest race pretty much any horse is ever going to have.
It's a mile and a half.
Yeah. And the Kentucky Derby was the longest race any of those horses had, you know, 2 races ago. So it's a situation where it's like, okay, you've raced. Now here's the longest ever. Oh, by the way, the Kentucky. Oh, by the way, take off a week and then race, you know, a tough race, the Preakness. And oh, by the way, take off 2 weeks and then race the longest race ever again, plus, you know, longer than the Kentucky Derby. And oh, by the way, a typical horse at this level will take off 4 to 5 weeks between races. So it's almost like playing an NBA game that's six quarters after playing five straight days is what the Belmont is. And that's why we had, before this year, almost half the horses were potentially going to win the Triple Crown entering the Belmont. I think it was like 7 out of 15. I'm just going by memory. And only one had won it, because it's so hard to win three in a row because of the short time off and the distance. Same reason, if you don't win the first two, it's tough to even race in all three.
All right, 800-919-3776.
Dave, that's when you're supposed to say, wow, that's what I expected. Instead, when I do great, you just say, okay, on to the next challenge.
Because the expectation is that you're going to give us
that I'm the greatest of all, that I'm Muhammad Ali? No. Sometimes you say
Muhammad,
good job.
The Muhammad Ali of the sports gambling
but
world.
It wouldn't even be sports gambling. It's like, I've never seen a radio guest on a sports show get barraged with questions and knock him out of the park and not even get a good job.
Let's do that again. Just finish. You give me your last sentence again.
I've never heard.
No, not that. The last sentence of your soliloquy when it came to horse racing.
Blah, 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 blah.
Wow. RJ, I got to be honest with you. I wasn't expecting that. The insight, the knowledge, the depth of that entire soliloquy was as good as I could have possibly expected, and then even a little bit better. Thank you for that.
Now, you know what I could do, Dave? And you couldn't do anything. You'd be like a little kid saying, turn the radio down, Daddy. No. What's the kid going to do? Nothing. All right? I'm going to go back to your shows, and I'm going to pull out six or seven drops of you saying things like, man, I could have never done that, and woo, dog, and literally just run my soundboard right in to, you know, my drop machine into the soundboard, and then no one's going to tell the difference. You go, wait, I didn't say that, and I would dict out control the show.
I'll tell you what, I don't think you'll do it.
Oh, yeah?
I don't think you'll do it. I challenge you to do that next Saturday.
I mean,
I dare you to do something like that.
You know something? The only way that you can do that is give your word to the city is that if I do, you're not going to tell me in between segments, hey, that was fun, but stop. Because if I'm going to take the time, I'm going to just kill you the whole show, as opposed to just, for example, I wouldn't just have to have your voice. I could bring on, and I don't have it into the board, but I could bring on someone you know.
Talking about the great one, RJ Bell.
And have Stephen A. comment on things. So you think about that.
I don't think you'll spend the time. I don't think you'll put the energy forward. But if you do, God bless you.
All right, Dave.
All right. Something in the morning, RJ is going to look up right now, and KD, Kyrie, and Kawhi, where might they wind up? That all is coming your way next, right here on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
Tacitus, apparently, is the horse of choice for sports talk down in the Houston, Texas area.
Let me ask you a question. Are you really this provincial? You can look that up. Or is it a situation where you're just thinking you're going to make the people in Queens happy if you make fun of Texas?
I mean, I'm playing to my audience.
Yeah, that's what I figure. You got to wonder who the real Dave is. And really, do you even know?
You know what? Probably not. It depends on how much sleep I've gotten the night before.
You know what else dawned on me?
What?
This is the first time I've ever had, think about it, I'm 48. This gig is the first time I've ever in my life had a boss in any kind of way. I mean, I don't really have a boss. I don't need this, but you guys are giving me things to do. I've never had a straight job in my life, not for one day. And even me having a show, the deal was you contract my company to do a show and I don't get told what to do. That's it. Now I got to follow the normal rules of the air.
Stop it. I mean, let me bust out my violin. We're asking you to look up odds
Kevin
Durant is going to land next year.
I'm saying is I see now with my dad's a 30-year union guy in a coal mine, right? And he always was union. I'm like, man, just let everyone, you know, kind of go negotiate. I get it now that an oppressed worker.
This is exactly the same as working in 80 feet below the surface of the earth in the coal mine. We have 2.5 minutes left. Can we please spend it on stuff that you're knowledgeable about?
I think we have been. Okay. First
all right,
up,
Kevin Durant, where's he going?
Okay. Team to sign Durant. Holy cow, the favorite right now, Knicks, minus 225.
Which is a pretty decent favorite.
Yeah, that's saying, like, you got to take out the VIG, which is complicated, but it's going to be moving past 60% for sure. Warriors, plus 150 is next. And the Nets are only 4-1. So you guys are minus 200. Nets are plus 400.
Wow.
And then Clippers are 4-1, too, and so are the Lakers.
So there's five teams in that 4-1 or better range.
Yes.
All right.
You want anyone else?
I want Kawhi.
Kawhi, plus 125 to stay with the Raptors, minus 200 to go to the Clippers.
So Clippers 1, Raptors 2. Anybody else in contention?
Let's see here. I'm doing it on my iPhone. 3-1, we got two teams, Knicks and the Field.
And then how about Kyrie?
So really, Leonard going to the Knicks is viable? I had never heard.
No, that's apparently very viable. I guess he has an uncle that wants him to go here. We have a minute left, so let's go rapid fire. How about Kyrie?
Kyrie, the favorite.
Is Brooklyn heavy now?
Knicks plus 100.
So even money to the Knicks. What's Brooklyn at?
Yeah. Now, Nets are plus 150. So what we're saying here is the Nets have a much better chance at Kyrie than they do Durant. You guys have Durant, the Knicks, not locked up, but, you know, looking good. But you're still viable for Kyrie, too, Knicks.
All right, we have 45 seconds. Do you have the odds of the French Open Finals? You don't have them.
You know, my ninth homework assignment I didn't complete. I'm sorry.
That's fine, because I figure he was
in fact, I got it.
Again.
I got it. I got my team on it. Nadal minus 500.
Here's my take.
Pregame.com. Pregame.com. Say it, Dave.
Pregame.com. Pregame.com. Here's my take. Bet Nadal. He never loses on clay, RJ.
Oh, be careful. Whenever you have a guy who doesn't know what he's talking about, giving the bets, guys run the other way.
I'm like the Bjorn Borg of tennis here at the station.
He was good on clay.
He's great on clay. He never
loses on clay. Your hair doesn't look anything like it.
Bet the house on Nadal in the morning. RJ, I will talk to you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anita Marks coming your way right now. And thank you on 98.7 ESPN.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.